superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Tyler Lockett, what did you know about Geno Smith from this offense that the rest of the league has learned?
Going to throw deep. Got a man in the corner. It is Lockett. Touchdown. Seahawks.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We knew what Geno could do. I mean, you know, it was mostly a lot of people on the outside who didn't know what Geno could be able to do.
Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long. Coming up, author of the new book, Uphill, a Memoir, Jemele Hill. Plus your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel, channel 210. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and the podcast version of the show. We always appreciate people who say they listen to us on our podcast. We would appreciate you going to the old RSS feed, hitting subscribe, the RSS feed, pardon me, subscribe. YouTube page, you can also follow us there. We greatly appreciate it. Closing in on 480,000 followers right now, as we're very excited about that. There's the Rich Eisen Show Collection video on demand service as part of our partnership with the Roku channel.
Sounds fancy.
It is. You're part of the collection, sir.
How about that, man?
Cowboys are collecting wins. The Rich Eisen Show is collecting video on demand viewers.
Drinking with my pinky out.
Look at you, sir. Collection. Yes. Yeah. TJ Jefferson, Chris Brockman, and Mike Del Tufo, all part of this show here on Halloween. I've got my top five scariest storylines coming out of week eight.
Nice. Well done.
You like that? Jemele Hill will be here in hour number three. She's got her memoir right here called Uphill.
Fantastic.
So she's one of my favorites. She's going to be joining us here in hour number three on this program. Another one of my favorites, and you guys are, just so you understand that.
Oh, I was wondering. Yeah.
You are not wondering.
We've been here the longest.
We just don't know.
You've got staying power.
Yeah.
Kind of like whatever's on your upper lip right now, Chris.
I don't know how long I'm going to take this.
Joining us on the Rich Eisen Show in his regular Monday spot, he's got a great, fun podcast called Greenlight Podcast. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ with lots to say on the NFL. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Chris Long. Once again, how are you doing, Christopher?
What's up, Rich? How are you?
Well, I'll tell you what's up. I mean, because, again, you run your operation there, right? Greenlight Podcast. You've got some of your guys. And I'm just wondering how you would handle this if one of your guys just showed up for work one day wearing a mustache when he's never done it before. How would you handle that, Chris? Because that's happened to me today.
Oh, I give him a hug, man. I give him a hug. That's great, man. That's great.
Okay.
That guy's confident. You want him on your team.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you, Chris Long.
Brockman just got the mustache check mark.
Oh, Brockman.
Yeah, it is Brockman.
Well, I got some Magnum PI vibes going today. I got the Hawaiian shirt, so I went mustache to match.
Well, listen, man, if you look anything like Mr. Selleck.
He doesn't.
Well, I don't have any hair, but
He doesn't.
No Ferrari.
Okay.
Josh Allen had a mustache.
Chris?
I saw that last
there
time.
You go.
We're back.
We're back. I thought like you looked like Andy Reid on a bad vacation week, to be honest with you. Like the Andy Reid is on White Lotus, you know, like
season two.
You know, I just don't know.
Nice.
That's honestly what I thought he was going
White
for.
White Lotus Andy Reid. I'll take that.
White Lotus that's Andy Reid. Put that down for a good fantasy, team name. All right. The story for me coming out of week number eight Sunday is Christian McCaffrey looking the way that he did just one full practice weekend for San Francisco. Would you give me pushback on that? Am I missing something else? What do you got for me there?
No, he was great. And the Niners, like, pay attention this week. People are probably already doing it, but people are going to be on the Niners bandwagon now because they look more complete. And they're missing a lot of guys. Like, think about this. First off, kind of a back against the wall game. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between 3-5 and 4-4? It's one game, but sounds a lot different. It feels a lot different going into your bye. They're going to get Kinlaw back at some point here. They're going to get Armstead back. They're going to get Jennings back off the bye. They're going to get Samuel back. They just got Trent Williams back. I like to judge a team off what they're going to look like in December. And this is a scary team, man. And Christian right away makes a big difference. Like, they're down 7-0. They got a 3rd-and-7. You know, the Rams kind of jumped them at home, quote-unquote at home, because it was mostly Niners fans there. But, like, they get a 3rd-and-7 where he breaks 2 tackles, Christian does. And that extends the drive so he can throw that ball, you know, that everybody's making a big deal about. It's another wrinkle in their offense. And honestly, I don't want to go as far as saying, like, offense is going to go this way, but just having that on tape where you got a guy that you can throw a swing pass to, it's got to be a lateral, technically, and he can deliver that football, that adds another not insignificant wrinkle to that offense. If I'm a second-level defender, I would put that on tape every couple weeks, right? This guy adds a lot, not just in the pass game, the run game, but your gadgets, that sort of thing. So I was excited. And for D'Amico Ryans, man, you know, last week a lot of people said, because they blew some coverages and Mahomes looked great, surprise, you know, he's not a head coach, whatever. There was some hype after Rule got fired. So much for him as a head coach. They go to the half. They're down. The Rams get 61 yards in the second half. They mixed up their personnel a little bit better. And they shut him down. So that was a big game for not just the Niners, but for D'Amico.
And, you know, I know that, you know, I might be jumping on, as you said, the Niners in that respect. But especially when there is still a remaining undefeated team in the NFL that came off its bye and known for its running game, went up top 3 times from Hurts to A.J. Brown. And that is pretty damn significant. But I'm just looking at the 49ers, as you point out. I mean, again, I mentioned at the top of the show, Ayuk scores. Kittle scores. McCaffrey throws one to Ayuk. He runs one in himself. He also catches one himself with a beautiful grab in the end zone. And they didn't even have Debo. They did not even have him. And that doesn't just, for me, and I know it's just 1 week, I get it. We're marathoning. We're not sprinting. It not only is a calling card within the conference, I think it's with the entire league. I think a team like the one that we saw in SoFi doing what they did can do that to anybody in the league, and that includes the Bills on any given Sunday. You know?
Yeah, and I agree, man. Like, they're scary. And, you know, it's one of these teams where, okay, they're not just any 4-4 team where you're like, oh, I'm trying to figure out who these guys are. Like, we know who they are. Like, this window's been open. You know, so this is possibly an improved version of the team that damn near beat the Super Bowl champions 3 times last year. And Jimmy looks healthier. Like, I'm not – he always looks like Joe Montana against the Rams and everything.
It's unbelievable.
You know, that ball to McCaffrey in the red zone, that's nonverbal communication between those two. He's scanning left to right. And that was a beautiful ball with touch in the corner of the end zone. The ball to Kittle, the dagger, we wouldn't even talk about it. They didn't have Kittle for a stretch this year. Like, this team has been disjointed, and they're coming together. And for the Rams, it sucks. It's like, you know, you pursued McCaffrey.
That's right.
And he's seen him now twice in a month because he was there with Carolina a couple weeks ago. It's got to be just like twisting the knife a little bit, the big brother, little brother syndrome. Now, I know McVay and the Rams, they got the ring and everything, but it's ridiculous. It's 8 in a row.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Speaking of streaks, the Patriots do it again to the Jets just when the Jets are feeling great about themselves. And Belichick passes George Halas against the Jets. You've seen it firsthand. That's got to feel like as great as it gets for him without winning a playoff game or a Super Bowl, right? He hates the Jets, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's a secret that he's not a huge Jets fan, but, I mean, I think he has a lot of respect for Robert Saleh. You know, I was watching their handshake at the end of the game, and, you know, I was just trying to imagine, you know, what he's thinking about the Jets and the operation they're building, and not to put air in your tires here, Rich, but I do think they're moving in the right direction. The big thing is you make a trade last week for, you know, Robinson from Jacksonville, which says, like, we're ready to win now. And then your quarterback comes out on Sunday and it doesn't look like you're ready to win now, because this would have been a good barometer. It's not like the New England defense is, you know, they just got torched by Chicago, and it was an uninspired performance, and Justin Fields adds a lot of things that, you know, you can't replicate. But that was a disappointing game for them. They're up 10-3 at midfield. You know, y'all have a real chance to put this game away, Rich, and you throw a pick, and that was a huge pick, you know, Matt Judon on the pressure. But the second and third ones, they were just awful, man. Like, the one to McCourty, just throw the ball out of bounds, man. It's like my day was kind of bookended with bad throws, bad decisions from Lawrence. You know, his pick in the red zone, that's first down. Just burn the ball, and then I'm watching with Zach Wilson, and then the third pick was bad too, and he just doesn't have to throw those balls, man, and it does kind of concern me. But the good thing is for the Jets is you've got this really good core on defense. I mean, Huff forced the turnover. You saw guys getting after the quarterback. Got, you know, and they have depth too. So the core is there. The interesting question is going to be, like, we're already having the conversation, but when does the noise get really loud on Zach Wilson, and what do they do there? Because this is a team that's got some playoff bones, man. You know, it's kind of like in Seattle when you hit on your draft picks, it speeds the clock up a year or two, yep. Right? Nobody thought, I don't even know if Pete Carroll knew that they'd be in it this year, but you have a quarterback who's not going to beat you. You know, Geno Smith is not beating the Seahawks. In fact, like, he's making some damn good throws, and you know, all these position players are growing up fast, but the quarterback's not in New York. And so it's a tough deal.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's some very, very true words. No question about that. And how about this one in Dallas?
Yeah.
Do you think somebody's got to just, is it Jerry Jones? You tap him on the shoulder, or Steven taps Jerry on the shoulder, or Jerry taps McCarthy on the shoulder, and somebody's got to tap Zeke on the shoulder and say, look.
Happened.
You're just not going to get as many touches. We love you. We're going to use you. We're going to need you. But yeah. This show is Tony Pollard's now. I mean, that I think that has to happen, and I'm wondering what you think on that subject matter, Chris.
Well, I think there's a way that it can happen. Like, as you can have a grown-up conversation about it. Tony gives them such a high-end, like, their high-end speed is greater with Tony in the ballgame. Now, I know Tony is not a great, you know, pass protector, and you worry about that sort of thing, but didn't seem to hurt him yesterday. It's not like they were playing the most dynamic outfit defensively with the Bears, but more than anything, I think Dak just looks great, man. Like, Dak looked really efficient. Look at his shot chart yesterday. I mean, he's really, really efficient. And to score 49 points, I can't believe we were having this conversation a month or two ago about, you know, whose job is it? You know, with everything Dak's done for that franchise and done things the right way. And I like Cooper Rush, man. He's a great commodity to have on your team. But to have Dak back, this makes them scary. And I was wrong. I thought they'd be not out of it, but the lead would be too big in the NFC East. When Dak got back, you know, hats off to Dan Quinn, hats off to McCarthy, who's taken a lot of crap the last couple of years. He's got them in position to challenge for not only the East, but, you know, to be the one seed. I mean, there's a lot of ball left. They got to be in there with the top three teams in the NFC.
Chris Long, a couple more minutes left on your usual Monday spot with the host of Greenlight Podcast here on the Rich Eisen Show. DJ Moore takes his hat off. You just mentioned hats off to stuff in Dallas. He takes his lid off, and that makes the extra point much worse for Eddie Pinheiro, who misses the extra point and overtime hits, and Pinheiro misses a field goal there. And the Falcons are the ones who lead the NFC South roost, and that has to be the most entertaining game in week number 8. I know that they're not 5-6 win teams, but that was unbelievable. What do you think of this rule where DJ Moore takes his lid off? Obviously, that's against the rules, but what are we doing? Might be a question.
I'd have to ask somebody what the rule's about. Like, I don't know if it's a safety thing.
I know what it is, actually. It was that time in the era that preceded actually this, but when the NFL got rid of celebrations, remember that? They got rid of celebrations, and the prelude to it was they didn't want players like Favre in the Super Bowl all those years ago taking a helmet off and running around on the field. And the reason why, and the reason why they got rid of celebrations, they do get at the NFL letters from youth sports and high school coaches and Pop Warner coaches. I'm serious. This is what Mike Pereira told me in the lobby of an owner's meeting one year when he was the head of NFL refs, saying they take this seriously. And a lot of coaches say when you allow your players to do it, it makes it tougher for us at the youth sports level. I swear to you, that is the genesis of this rule.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, listen, it doesn't really move me. I also think it's a slippery slope if every dude can take off his helmet, because, like, after guy gets a sack, he takes off his helmet. Guy gets, you know, first down, he takes off his helmet. Like, wait, you know how that goes. But I think it's fair to expect DJ to know the rule there, especially because on fourth down, like, listen, I'm not burying DJ or anything, because I think he's a hell of a player and he could have a new home soon. And that game only helps, right? I mean, the fourth down where he dropped that ball before they inexplicably had a chance to win that game 5 minutes later, he took his helmet off there. And the kicker softens the blow for DJ more, because Pinheiro's got to make those kicks. I mean, the extra point's tougher, yeah, but the kick in overtime, now you got to make that kick. And I had the Panthers catching 4 points, and when I tell you, like, I've never screamed so loudly when P.J. Walker threw that ball. 67.5 yards in the air, Rich. It's the highest air yards completion since they started charting next-gen stats. Meanwhile, you've been paying, and Steve Wilks and P.J. Walker are doing a hell of a job. You have 2 weeks in a row I'm saying this, but you got a chance to be, you know, on top of the NFC South, however you get there. Your offense looks really good. You lose Christian McCaffrey last week. Foreman and those guys are toting the rock. And you've played roulette with like 7 bad quarterbacks over the last 2 years. And the guy who's just sitting there patiently minding his business, waiting for his turn, is the guy who gives you the best chance to win. And Steve Wilks is doing a good job. I feel for those two guys, man. And I talked about it last week. I really wish Carolina won this game. I'm just kind of caught up in the story there. And I've been on teams where we weren't so good, and I was pulling for those guys.
And we're halfway through the season now, Chris. And, you know, you could say what you will about, the Chiefs on the bye week and the Chargers don't look that great and the rest of the division. It's the Chiefs division, right? You could sit here and say that pretty much. And the Bills, you could pretty much say that about the AFC East, but still those coaches go to sleep thinking you never know. The only one coach
Dolphins
that
Dolphins look good, Rich. People want us to talk about that. You know, they love to tweet at you.
I know they do. I still think the Bills are the best team in that division.
Yeah,
and they already have the win over them too, you know, and I think they're going to beat the Jets. Certainly, if the same Jets team that just took on the Bill Belichick Patriots, the Bills from Buffalo, are going to take care of business. But that was one whole long windup for this pitch here, that the only coach that truly, I think, heart or heart, knows he's got a home playoff game coming up in January right now is Mike Vrabel and the Titans. And the Titans, once again, with Derrick Henry punking the Houston Texans. The McNairs don't own the Texans. You know, so it's Derrick Henry. Damn straight he does. So my question for you is, once again, the Titans are like the team. Yeah. What do you think of Tennessee?
I think Tennessee's incredibly hard to kill, man. That's the best compliment I can give a football team. That Mike Vrabel is the man. I just the guy you wish you played for. I like watching him and Ben Jones in the tunnel last week. Like that guy cares. Like, that guy doesn't just care about his job. He cares about everybody else in that locker room, and he's been a player. I know he's tough. I know he pushes those guys hard, and you can see it because when they get in tough situations, when the chips are down, when you start Malik Willis and you find yourself 3-point underdogs against Houston or whatever it was, or, like Houston's actually favored by the time kickoff happens, they dig deep. They find a way. It doesn't matter that Malik Willis isn't ready. And as a sidebar, that's funny because in the preseason, everybody was coming for
no doubt
Tannehill. He's like, let's just not get out over our skis.
But Derrick Henry's run for like 50 miles against stack boxes since, you know, in the last 5 years. I think he had 118 yards against stack boxes yesterday. You know, and the last guy to have so many, I think, was him a year or two ago. And he leads the league against, you know, loaded boxes over the last 5 years by 1,000 yards or something like that. I mean, the guy is insane. I'm watching that game, and I'm just saying, like, I'm like, load the box, load the box. And every time Houston would line up defensively, I'd count. And I was like, okay, they are loading the box. There's just nothing you can do about it. The guy's 6'5". He falls forward for 2 yards every time and drags two defenders with him. He's awesome. The Titans are really tough to kill. And yeah, the only thing with the Titans are, like, they're sitting there in the locker room. You know, we used to sit in the locker room and get our ankles taped before games and sit in the hot tub. And there'd be a TV on until, like, 90 minutes before the game. So they're a late game, and they're watching the Eagles, right? And they're watching A.J. Brown. And I'm kind of wondering what guys are thinking about that move, right? Because I think the cap hits are similar with Woods and him. And you couldn't retain him. And the guy's just such a game changer. He's been a game changer in Philly. He would have really helped this football team. And they could be a contending type football team, and they might be. But you just imagine if they still had A.J. Brown, it's just a totally different ballgame.
Do conversations get sparked when seriously watching TV and watching other guys like that? Is it actually verbalized, or is it really just like a look that everybody knows what the look means? It's when something like that happens.
I think that locker room really, really vibes with Braves and that whole organization. So I don't think anybody's like, man, we're tricking this thing off. I just think it is kind of a look. I think it's like you look over at the guy next to you as AJ goes up and gets that ball between two Steelers defenders yesterday, and you're like, damn. You know, there's nothing that needs to be said, but, you know, he just adds a whole other element. But the Titans are really good, and you look at the AFC picture, like I just mentioned the Dolphins. They have the Bears, the Texans, and somebody else that's not great over the next 3 weeks, and a bye. So they're going to go into December. You know, they have a chance to be 8-3 going in December. And if you're a Dolphins fan, you know, you talk about the Bills, we talk about the Chiefs with good reason. I think they're class above everybody else. But then there's these teams like the Titans, the Dolphins, teams like that who are going to be in a good position, especially looking at like the Chiefs scheduled next month. Come December, this AFC race is going to get interesting.
Yeah, Miami's at Chicago, home for Cleveland, bye, home for Houston. Then they're at San Francisco. What a game that's going to be with McDaniel going against his old team there and his old team going against McDaniel. And then, of course, next up for Tennessee is at Kansas City on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, my goodness.
The dreaded Andy Reid coming off a bye game. I mean, that's going to be dynamite in week number 9. Who's on your pod this week on Greenlight Podcast?
Oh man, I think we're going to get Bradley Chubb.
Okay.
You know,
the future New York Jet, maybe. How about him?
One can only hope. You guys have an embarrassment of riches up front, though.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm hearing that.
Maybe I don't know. I don't know who, because Robert Quinn got shipped to Philly, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But we get Chubb. I've been waiting to get Chubb on the show, but you know, you don't want to have guys on after a loss, and obviously, you know, that's been tough to pinpoint with the Broncos.
I know.
So looking forward to that.
You may have him coming off of a trade. You never know, Chris. I look forward to hearing your conversation with him, and always appreciate our chats on Monday, man. Really do. Thank
Likewise,
you, sir.
Dude. Take appreciate care. It. Yeah, and keep rocking the stash, bro.
There you go, Chris.
Thanks, brother.
There you go. At Joel91 on Twitter. I follow him. You should too. Chris Long here on The Rich Eisen Show. And you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or just by simply asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. When we come back, phone calls 844-204-RICH number down. I love seeing our phone lines lit like this. And then we light the candle known as Overreaction Monday. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year.
That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking about how we did nothing this weekend for Halloween.
Nothing. 0.0.
Well, here's how we're going to celebrate Halloween on the show. Top five scariest NFL moments of the weekend. We're going to do the top of hour number three before Jamel Hill joins us.
All right.
I wanted to get to top of hour number three because, Mike, it looked like you were getting that ready right now.
I was getting ready for two
things.
No,
hour three. That's hour three.
I know. I was getting ready for two things.
Overreaction Monday is about to hit.
That's exactly.
But I want to sneak in a phone call before we get to, or two, before we get to Overreaction Monday. Let's go. All right, I'm going to bite on this one. Jason in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Jason?
What's up, Rich? You're the man, man.
Thank you.
Hey, man, your Cowboys take spot on. Like, and this is the thing that I hate about the other shows. They're like, oh, it's either Zeke or it's Pollard. It's Zeke or it's Pollard. No, it's not. It's exactly what you just said right there. I mean, life is nuanced. And it's these debate shows, sometimes they get out of hand. And I'll tell you what, ESPN with Spark, they hire you back. They put you right over top of your first take. And then it would see what people want to really hear. They don't want to hear debate, stupid debates. They don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Anyway.
What would it be called? It wouldn't be called First Take.
But wait a minute. ESPN hires you back, then we're out of a job. So
no, I'd bring you.
No, he'd take you with you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm about
you're
to
coming,
say,
who's
man.
Coming with me? Who's coming with me? I got my goldfish.
Let's go.
Because you had me at hello, TJ.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just saying, man.
I don't know. I think First Take's in good hands. But what do you want to talk about here,
so,
Jason?
Another crazy thing people are doing is saying Geno Smith is better than Russell Wilson. And they're implying that the Seahawks have not been good for 10 years with Russell Wilson, and they didn't win a Super Bowl, and they didn't go to two, and they should have had two, and everything else, and his QBR, his passer ratings has been so good for so long. And I tell you what, nobody is going to give Geno Wilson a contract. Nobody. I mean, he's doing good. They're going to be a good team. They're not a contender. They are not.
Don't sleep on them yet, man. Don't. Hey, look, if you're going to sit here and say that the split screen, you know, topic bar television shows, argument shows, take shows on TV are wrong for saying that Russell Wilson, Geno Smith is better than Russell Wilson, you can't sit here and then flip and say, you know, that the Seahawks aren't contenders. They absolutely are. They're 5-3.
Do you think they're okay? Let's talk about the NFC.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me give you five teams,
sure.
And you tell me if they are in contention with any of those five teams.
Sure.
Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco.
Yeah, because right, here's because here's a, no 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 because here's the thing,
teams.
Jason. Let's
they're
play. Let's play it out. Let's play it out. Seattle wins the division. Somebody's going to have to come to Seattle and play a playoff game.
They're not going to win the division.
Okay. Ooh. They're one up. They're one up. And, you know, they have a game this week at Arizona where I think they can win that football game. And then they should beat, you know, very competitive in Germany in front of me when I'm calling that game against Tom Brady in Tampa. Then they have a bye. They're home for Vegas.
They're at the Rams. They're home for Carolina. And then there's that big Thursday nighter where San Francisco comes into their house on a short week. Why not, man?
Okay.
Honestly.
Indianapolis with Matt Ryan beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. You keep making my point in a way, sir. But thank you for calling.
No, I hear you. Okay. I hear you. But I'm just saying, okay, we'll see.
Okay,
If Gino gets $150 million from somebody, then I'll be wrong. But I don't
know.
No,
hold on a second. I don't know if that's what's going to happen. And thank you for the call, Jason. I appreciate what your compliment as well and chopping it up, mixing it up.
I got Jason's back too, Rich. Just looking at the updated Super Bowl odds. The Seahawks are currently 65-1.
Look, man.
Oh, I'm just telling you. Hold on. Here's who has better odds than them with worse record. New England has better odds. Green Bay has better odds. The Rams have better odds. The Chargers, the Dolphins, the Bucks.
I would be offended if I was. And by the way, that would be the first thing I would do if I'm Pete Carroll is I would read this off in the locker room. If he needs to. I don't think so. I think what they're picking up on what he's selling. And you know what? And let's do this. I was going to plan on doing this on the back end of the hour. Let's do it now. And then we'll get to overreaction Monday. Remember last week when I told you what Pete Carroll was really thinking when he stepped to the podium? I believe it was 1 week ago today when we did this segment where I said what he was really thinking when he was told after the game in SoFi after beating the Chargers that you're in first place. And he's just like, huh, who'd have thunk it? And then he gave this kind of look like, not you folks.
Right.
Who kept telling me who's cooking and who's not cooking and my way of cooking. And you know, how's the cooking now? You like the cooking now? And you're like, really? Is that what he's thinking? And I'm like, yeah, that's what he's thinking. As if he doesn't know how to coach anymore. The conversation after last season was, well, he's going to go visit the owner and she's going to axe him and John Schneider and start from scratch because their way of doing things has totally fallen flat. What a horrible season that was. And Russ is being sent away because you can't figure out how to cook with him. And we're still going to stick with you when you don't know how to cook with Russ. And yeah, he's sitting there saying, how do you like my cooking now? That was my opinion of his inner monologue without him saying it. Well, listen to this soundbite after he won again, beat the Giants, the other surprise team, one would say, in the NFC this year, with the other Coach of the Year candidate that a lot of people are on. Not a lot of people on his bus, but everyone was on the Daboll train and might still be. Why not? They're 6-2. This is what he had to say when he was asked if this is some of the most fun he's ever had coaching anywhere. Okay, here's his answer.
You know, all the people that doubt, like, you're losing, you know, like, we run the ball too much, you don't understand football, and, you can't stay up with the new game and all that kind of stuff. That's a bunch of crap, I'm telling you. But look, we're doing fine. We're all right, so I don't mind proving it day in and day out.
There's a chip on Pete Carroll's shoulder, and he must be showing it all the time. Everybody keeps sleeping on Seattle. Go for it. You keep sleeping on them. Sleeping on Seattle.
But they're not legit Super Bowl contenders.
You know what? You can say that now, and you might be right. All those other teams. You're taking New England over this team. New England's not even above 500 right now. You're taking the Chargers over
this
team? Seattle just beat them.
Four.
Seattle just beat them. You're taking Seattle. Give me some more of them. You really take the Chargers over Seattle?
These are all the teams
right
ahead of Seattle.
Okay,
so it's New England, Green Bay, Tennessee.
You're taking Green Bay over Seattle. And I say that knowing that Green Bay had some positives last night.
Tough last night.
Green Bay committed to the run. By the way, as I advocated, not like I've reinvented the wheel or is the only one saying it, but they committed to the run and they got touchdowns from Dobbs and Toure, who I didn't know played in the NFL, to be very honest with you. I'm sure Nebraska fans will give me grief for that. But, you know, we saw some sparks. But you would take Green Bay at 3-5, having a better chance to win the Super Bowl over a 5-3 team that might host a playoff game in a very difficult spot to go and try and win a playoff game, let alone any game.
Does Green Bay make a trade tomorrow for a receiver?
We'll see. Okay.
I don't know. Rams, Chargers, Dolphins.
You're taking the Rams over this team.
Still the defending champs.
Okay.
Bucks.
You're taking the Bucks over this team. We'll see in Munich in a couple weeks, won't we? And Tom might suddenly turn it around, and I can't wait to chat with him and Coach Bowles before that game with the rest of the Game Day morning crew, because we're calling that game on NFL Network in a couple of Sundays. Okay, everybody keeps sleeping on Pete.
It just feels like there's only about four or five teams who are legit Super Bowl teams.
Okay,
that's all.
And yet the Seahawks keep racking up the dubs.
That's the thing.
Keep racking them up. Every single week, well, they're not going to do. Oh, wait a minute. They're what, 6-3 now? After beating Arizona in Arizona, which they absolutely can do?
That's another team. They play weird games.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's take a break. We'll come back and do Overreaction Monday.
Let's do
Why
it.
Don't we do that?
I like it.
Why don't we do that?
Why don't we?
All right, throw it a break. We'll be back with more right here and more phone calls. 844-204-RICH.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's time for Overreaction Monday. You can find, brought to you by Audible. You can find the latest and greatest audio entertainment on Audible. It's got everything you want to hear, including this very program. Along with podcasts like The Rich Eisen Show, you'll also find audiobooks and exclusive originals talking comedy, sports stories, deep dives with athletes, entertainers, business, anything else that you're into. With Audible, you get access to thousands of included titles with more added every week. Listen on the road, at the gym, or anywhere you want to fuel up your imagination. Join and get 30 days free at the home of storytelling, audible.com. Hit it, please. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Christopher, you have the floor.
All right, these two teams were the two biggest favorites of the week. They both won by double digits. We should just skip right to Bills-Eagles Super Bowl right now.
I will say that's an overreaction. As much as I'd like to buy both, both, as you know, have been sitting atop my power rankings for darn near a month as 1 and 2. Unmoved, despite your heckling.
Me? Not just me.
That's why I'm looking at TJ Jefferson.
Well, let's be honest. My heckling was a year in the making of you heckling me every time I did a...
You know what? This is not, you know, this was just a tit for tat, sir.
Well,
this is,
it technically was. So that was
a tat. It's a tat.
But you notice I've stopped. You've noticed I've stopped. I just got it in. Let you know how it felt.
I'm going to keep that.
I don't know, man. There's still a Chiefs can do what they want to do. I still want to see what the Bengals look like when it's all said and done. The Titans are tightening up right now. And then, of course, you've got Dallas in the NFC. You've got San Francisco looking the way that it looked this past week in a week-to-week league. I got to sit here and say that's an overreaction. That's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Yes, Chris?
I'm pretty proud of this one, actually. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, good at the football. They've now combined for 1,688 receiving yards through 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most by any teammates through 8 games in the Super Bowl era.
That's a lot of football you're talking about.
A lot of football. They are already better than the Marx Brothers.
Duper
and Clayton.
I know you're talking about Marino's tandem.
Yeah.
They're really
freaking good, man.
I know that. I'm just going to call it an overreaction just because I don't have everything in front of me. And that's just It's just too soon. One half a season, you can't sit here and say something like that.
Sure.
But you can use that as a frame of reference and also point out the fact that that would mean Tua's the Marino in this equation.
By the way,
and
Tua's throwing up some numbers, man.
Out. He is balling out. And right now, he looks like the pick in front of Justin Herbert, doesn't he? And I know that's just a snapshot. You want to talk about just snapshots through 8 weeks. Tua is having a much better season than a guy who had so many people talking about he's the MVP, referring to Justin Herbert coming into the season. And Tua has been most valuable for Miami. So that's the way I will handle your supposition before I ask you to move on. What else you got?
By the way, just speaking of Tua real quick, 70% completion percentage, and he leads the NFL in passer rating at 113 and QBR at 79. He's been awesome.
Yep.
Pretty impressive. All right. NFC South is hot garbage. We can all agree with that. The NFC South winner is going to be sub-500, and they're going to host an 11-plus win team in the playoffs.
I think that's a good one. I think you're right. I think 8-9 would be
8-9.
You know, your sub-500 record of choice, and an 11-win team. That's
Cowboys have 11 wins.
Cowboys, probably? Giants could. I mean, you got two teams that are hitting their bye weeks at 6-2, with 9 games to go. They go 5-4 at the worst. One would think that's 11 wins. So, and Philadelphia's got 7. You figure they're going to go at least in their last 10 games, 5-5, which is better than 11 wins. So if they go, if the Eagles go 5-5 and the Cowboys and Giants go 5-4, and that's kind of like the worst one would expect from a teams that are currently 7-0 and 6-2.
Right.
You've got two 11 win teams that aren't division winners. So that's a pretty damn good supposition. I'll say that's not an overreaction right now. Halfway
all right.
point.
All right, speaking of Cowboys.
Yes, sir.
And this is for you, TJ.
All right.
We all owe Dak an apology for thinking Cooper Rush might be better.
That's
for,
you,
for
not
Dallas.
Me. I never thought that. TJ, did you think that?
Not for a single second of my life did I ever
one
think.
Of the, by the end of the year, when we're in our last week of 2022 doing shows and look back on the year.
Is that the dumbest
one,
take?
One of the most useless, in the end, by result, topics of conversation that burned up phone lines on shows similar to this one all year long.
I tried to have us not involved in this type of
tomfoolery. Well, I mean, Jerry invited it. Jerry invited it when he said
that
give me a quarterback controversy.
You called it immediately.
Before even hearing the soundbite, I said he's just inviting what he would know would be the controversy that's not within his own halls, not within his own office walls. But he was just inviting all the wins to force that on the Cowboys as a topic of conversation, despite it never being a possibility. So what else you got over there, Chris?
Did anybody wake up early and watch borrow an ESPN Plus account and watch the Broncos?
Well, I woke up early to host a program and give you updates throughout it on NFL Network. So I was finally tuned to the high knees of Russell Wilson.
Cage loves saying Broncos country, let's ride. It's super funny. They're going to ride right into the playoffs.
That's ridiculous. That's such an overreaction. Come on, man.
Russ is back.
Stop it.
Broncos country.
Why not?
They finished strong.
Defense
they finished
is
strong.
Really good.
Hey, man, Russ was throwing that deep ball to KJ Hamler with some old school stuff. You know what it looked like? It looked like Geno Smith to Tyler Lockett in Seattle.
Which one?
Yesterday.
The one that hit Lockett in the face
one that
or the
caught,
one that he caught?
The one that he caught for a score.
Got it.
KJ Hamler, nice deep ball by Russ on 3rd and 5. He high-kneed it for a first down. So, good for him. They That's needed right. that win. Right. Certainly the coach needed the win. 3-5? Come on, man. And the problem for them is they've already lost to the Jets. They've made this bet, man. They went to the LA Chargers, couldn't win that game in overtime. They got a problem. Because teams in front of them, they've already lost to. So.
All right, well, since you brought it up, Zach Wilson is going to cost the Jets a playoff spot.
Hey, man, that is, for the moment, in week number 8, an understandable position. An understandable position. We will see.
is all I'm going to say. I will call that an overreaction for the moment. Just to repeat what I said earlier in the program, Zach, hit your back foot, find your read. If that guy's not open, let's spend so much more time figuring out where reads two and three are. Instead of just the, what, fight or flight? Well, there's not much fight in between finding reads one and two and three right now. There's a lot of flight, and it's not the take flight that there's the hashtag for the team.
Take flight.
How about that?
How about that?
So I will say, let's see from here on out. But without Breece Hall, it's going to be more on his shoulders. So I'll say that's an overreaction, but I respect the topic.
The only starter in the NFL with a worse passer rating is Kenny Pickett and Zach Wilson.
Thanks for that aside.
Well, it's just a
research.
Stat. That's a fact. That's
thanks,
a fact.
Bud. Appreciate
it. I watched a lot of the football team and the Colts yesterday. Did the Colts abandon Matt Ryan too soon?
Stop it. By the way, it's Commanders, sir.
Sorry, Commanders.
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 Come on, man. I mean, Ellinger is running for his life, and he's picking up first downs in a way that Matt Ryan couldn't. My concern for the Colts is what's happened to Jonathan Taylor? Where's that guy from last year?
Well, the line has been not as good.
Where's the guy from last year?
I don't know, man.
So if that guy's not showing up, he fumbled yesterday too.
I know.
If that guy's not showing up, you need to have somebody pick up first downs. And Matt's not doing it with his feet. And man, just make sure Taylor Heineke doesn't beat you in the last second. Did you see Terry McLaurin from Indianapolis make that
amazing
incredible
catch.
Grab right with a 1 yard line screaming,
amazing.
This is my effing city.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
I mean, that was a big play in yesterday's game. What else, Chris? You got one more?
I got lots more, man. I can do this for days. Despite another win, and I don't even know if you're going to have him in your top 10 again this week just because of the disrespect. Despite another win, nobody still believes in the 6-1 Vikings.
I have them in my top 10, Chris. I've had them the last 2 weeks in my top 10.
Have you?
Yeah. And I'll tell you now, look for them to go up with a bullet.
Nobody believes in the Vikings. Nobody.
Well, that's a Cousins thing. It's a Kirk Cousins thing.
6-1.
It's a Kirk Cousins thing. He won one playoff game in New Orleans. And he could say you like that all he wants and wear as much bling as he's doing and have a great, great time and be successful as he currently is. But until he actually does it and multiple times. And let's see. Minnesota's next nationally televised contest. When might that be? Oh, that's a Thanksgiving night against the Patriots. Let's see it there. By the way, that's their last scheduled nationally televised night game on the schedule this year, unless somebody flexes in, unless there's a flex in.
I look at
who they're playing. I don't see a flex against the Jets in week 13 at Detroit, home for Indianapolis, home for the Giants. That might be a flex. I don't think Fox protected Minnesota and the Giants early on. That could be a flex. The Sunday night game that week is, hold on a minute, let me look for it. It's a color coding situation right here. That's Christmas Day. I don't think there's going to be any flexing. There you go. So, see how it goes, brother. But it's a Kirk Cousins thing. Or it could be just, let me just say.
A Minnesota thing?
No. Where did he go to school? Oh, yes. Wow. Jermell Hill's in studio coming up next hour.
Wow.
She's got a great book, great memoir that we're going to talk about. Mostly. Called Uphill.
Right.
She might be in the green room right now. Or the green and white room. That's what we'll call it. Because she's a Sparty.
You'd love that.
I would go back there, but you might beat me up.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Is that a good promo?
I mean, if I was Jermell, I might consider like
one more. Oh, we
out.
Got one more.
All right, we'll get one
okay,
more.
Go for it. What do you got? Hit the music. What do you got?
Rich, your Raiders prediction is so bad.
How bad is it?
It cancels out your great take of the Warriors winning the title from last year.
That's an overreaction. Stop it. You know what? When I hear the phrase from prideful athletes who win, no one can take this away from me. I always say,
who is the person trying to take it away from you? And I just like, who would do such a thing? And I now know who that person is and type of person of such low moral character is. It's you, Chris Brockman.
Yeah, it's definitely
Nobody
me.
Could take away from me the fact that I chose the Warriors to win it all last year.
You sold your soul for the Raiders this whole offseason. And how are they paying you back? Did Josh McDaniels apologize to you yesterday?
Not yet, personally. He apologized to Raiders Nation, but I deserve a personal apology
from
him.
He owes you an apology.
I need a phone call directly from him to me.
Ring, ring. Hey,
any idea what reputation and gravitas I've put on the line for him and his team?
Collectively, the four of us had one less catch than Devontae Adams yesterday.
Unbelievable.
We tried to get you to back out of that statement, too.
But nice try, sir. Overreaction. The great Jemele Hill coming up in hour number three.